Hey, it's Chris, and welcome to the Between Dreams podcast. This is a show where I chat with people who are not only dreaming big dreams, but doing something between those dreams. That's life. That's what it's all about, and that's what it should be. Today's guest is my best friend and your best friend, Ace.
Hi. What's up, peeps? What's up, besties?
Hi. Thank you for joining, and we have so much to talk about.
Yes.
Why don't you explain what it is exactly that you do? It's always tough when there's people. I find that it's, for myself, I feel like I do a lot of things, and
right.
No one can ever get it right. And
yeah.
Usually I can barely do that myself.
Yes.
But it's the best explanation when I do it. So not my lazy way of giving you an introduction is allowing you to do it yourself. You are so amazing that I can't even express it in your introduction. So I'm allowing you to do it yourself.
You know what? I accept you for who you are, and I appreciate you for who you are. No, I what do I do? I guess the best way to say it, because I never really know how to explain it, but I'm an artist. So what I do is I create content online mostly, and my medium is TikTok. I love to create. Like, that's my thing. I would say I'm a creator, whether it's, you know, doing pictures or videos or what have you. On top of that, I'm also an actress, TV and film currently. And yeah, and I'm just a human being a human.
So as you said, primarily on TikTok at the moment.
Yes.
How does that so I specifically, in talking about these things, like the different ways of creating things evolve. Obviously, TikTok, if we had this conversation 2 years ago, people would not know what we were talking about. And two
right.
years from now, there might be this, there might be Instagram is what people are talking about, or there's some new thing.
Right.
So I wanted to maybe think about that, because TikTok wasn't, you didn't start making things because people were like, oh, TikTok, you can get famous on there.
Yeah.
I'm going to start making it, which some people are doing.
Right.
But you were doing other things, and then, so it's like the tool becomes available.
Right.
And then if you are like ready to do that by doing a bunch of stuff before that,
yes.
then maybe things can work. And by
right.
the way, like, so like when you said TikTok is your main thing, right now, that's because you massively or very quickly gathered a massive audience.
Right. So, yeah, definitely. So I originally started just making content via Instagram, and I was doing that for a hot minute. I would say 3 years I was just making my own content and never got any views. But that's where I, you know, got my bumps and scrapes and put those band-aids on and kept moving. What happened for me was basically I was, you know, doing all the stuff that I wanted on Instagram, making videos, you know, taking pictures and then editing those and posting them, kind of like a self-promotion tool. And also for fun. Especially the videos. I started doing that, and then somehow I decided to make a video one day on a plane where, stick with me now, I was lip syncing to the Spice Girls. Like, that was my thing. I was going to walk down the aisle slowly. I cannot remember who started this trend, but I remember seeing it. I was like, oh my gosh, I just got to do it. Like, I love putting myself in uncomfortable situations as well as other people, just because, like, why not shake things up? So I decided, like, I'm going to lip sync to the Spice Girls. So I started walking slowly down the aisle while I was lip syncing to the Spice Girls, holding my camera, and it was exhilarating. And by the time I got down to my chair, I announced to everybody, you can follow me on Instagram at Ace Cross Crook, and they did. And two guys who were sitting kind of two rows behind me got on my Instagram and messaged me right away and was like, hey, we actually work with Facebook, and they are starting a new app called Lasso, and it's basically a video app. Similar to mine, but you only get 15 seconds at that time. And that's it. If you want to join, let's do it. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. So I started with Lasso. And from there, relationships grew because I met people through that. And then they told me, they were like, you need to get on TikTok. And so July of 2019, got on TikTok. And that was it. That was all she wrote. But I will say this, though. Fame is never the goal. Fame
yeah.
is never the goal. But definitely just to create content to entertain people so they can escape their day even for 60 seconds.
Yeah, and there's a thing, if we've all heard celebrities of all levels, whether they have 10,000 followers, because like right now, I'm like, oh, if I only had 10,000 followers on Instagram, that'd be awesome. Then I'd, like, that would look cool.
Yeah.
And, like, think. And it's like, I know that that doesn't mean anything, but then you see somebody with a million followers on something or a million subscribers on something, like, oh, that my life would be better if I had that.
Right.
But going back to, I think, so it's, I don't, people will never, obviously people will never know. As many celebrities say that money and fame and stuff doesn't make you any happier.
Right.
Like people are still like, well, it would probably make me happier.
Yeah.
So there's a balance on that. But like, I think I want to go back to what you were, when making videos and content on Instagram and you said nobody was watching.
Yeah.
What drives, so there's a lot of people who are living in that reality right now. They're making a ton of stuff and they're making cool stuff, and then they're getting frustrated because they're not getting a bunch of views, and then they're going to stop making stuff, or they're going to make different stuff, like take doing something stupid because it's like the viral thing of the moment,
right?
And then they're going to get super pumped, and then it's going to be even worse tomorrow because like they can't keep topping it, and then they're just going to have to stop doing it again.
That seems like the natural way of things, doesn't it?
So in that moment that you post something that you think you're like, this is awesome on Instagram or wherever, and it doesn't work, why do you not stop doing it? Because there's a lot of people who posted something, they got 8 views on whatever,
right?
And they're like, okay, well, I suck at this, no one likes my stuff, so I guess I'm not gonna do this anymore.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, honestly, and as hard as it may seemed, or like hard to hear rather, is you just keep going. Like, don't stop, because like, as long as it makes you happy, that's all that matters. Because at the end of the day, you need to be happy with who you are and what you're creating and what you're putting out there in the world. So if you subject yourself to just doing the viral trends or whatever it may be, that's not going to satisfy your artistic soul. So you might as well just keep doing what you're doing, because you know, one day somebody's going to notice that. You know, like, so for me, that's exactly what happened. No matter what, I just kept doing it. And then it just, one day somebody noticed me and then took me to the next level. That could be years, that could be days. It took me like 3 years. So it's something that, you know, you just have perseverance and it's going to pay off.
When you are on the airplane and you want to do that thing, there's an angel and a devil on each shoulder. And I don't know which one's which in this case.
Yeah.
But there's a voice in your head that says, this is going to be super. I can see the outcome of this is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
But I really kind of don't want to do it right now because it's going to be terrifying.
Honestly,
and most people, I've filmed so much stuff like myself. Out like in, and I'm not even doing anything crazy. It's just like, it just feels uncomfortable sometimes to set up the thing and look at it.
Yeah.
So there, what in that moment of like, so, and it's like bigger than doing it on an airplane. It's kind of like every day,
right?
Getting out of bed, like, oh, I want to sleep another hour, or I want to go make something,
right?
Or oh, I've made this video, but I don't know, am I going to post it? So there's like, that happens throughout, like from the time we wake up until the time we go to bed, at some level of like, I can take this leap and do this thing that I think I probably want to do, and I'll be happy after it's done.
Yeah.
But like right now, I really don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Like, don't want to get out of bed or an hour earlier.
Right.
I don't want to edit this video for 2 hours. I don't want to set up my living room to record a podcast. Like, I'm going to be happy when it's done.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about that a little. Like, in those moments, I'm sure there's days where you're like, I don't really feel like doing this.
Right.
Of like, I want to, obviously I'm really passionate about doing this, but like the actual work that goes into it is hard.
Oh, 100%.
And then so, yeah. So like, what in that moment, or like maybe use that example, the airplane ones, like,
yeah.
What, did you have to hype yourself? Like, was it just like, okay, go.
So, yeah. So a couple of things. So like, for instance, what do I do when I get to that moment of like, oh man, I don't really feel like doing it today, or whatever it may be, where I feel like a pushback for myself. I literally remind myself that if I never did that, if I never ripped that Band-Aid off, I would not be where I am today. I would have never met the pair of bros. I would have never got launched onto TikTok and so on and so forth and be doing what I love to do. So I just remind myself of that. And if there's things that I want to do, like I literally look at myself and just do it. I have a Shia LaBeouf moment. Just do it. So 2 times I've done the airplane video, and the first one I actually was too scared to do it like without asking. So I got on and I asked the stewardess, and they looked at me and they were like, wait, is that the right word, stewardess? Or is like, sure. Yeah, wait, I feel
is
like
that. Is that like offensive now?
What? Yeah, I'm like, wait, what is it? What?
Flight attendant.
Yes, correct. So flight
attendant. Or if we were in 1947, the stewardess.
So like, yeah. So basically I asked the flight attendants, I was like, look, I really want to do this video. And they're like, do you want us to help you? And I was like, yes. And they were like, okay, well, so what do you need from us? And I was like, well, I'm going to lip sync to this song. And they're like, do you want us to play it over the loudspeaker? And I was like, yes. And so then they did it. They even introduced me. They were like, for your viewing and listening pleasure, here's Ace. And literally hooked up my phone to it while I'm holding my camera, and I walked down this aisle and Spice Girls is playing. So yeah, and they clapped for me and everything. Now the second time I did it was to Mariah Carey, and it was for TikTok, and nobody knew. And that was the time, so you're talking about the preparation, my knees were shaking. Like that's how, like, I was like, this is how I knew I needed to go. Yeah. and do it. And I was like, oh. Yes. And I just started it, and I literally walked as slow as I could because it was on my phone, the song was, and I'm walking down, and you can see in the video where like this girl chews out her guy because he's looking at me doing this. It was, and so it was, to me, it was the funniest, most exhilarating thing. And so, yeah, so I love doing things out in public just because, I mean, honestly, like, why not, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something cool in that of like giving, you're making content, but you're also like opening up people in that moment to be like, oh, this is silly.
Yeah.
That's,
well,
okay.
I mean, you're a pretty dangerous guy too. What's something that like you were like, okay, I'm just going to do it?
Yeah, so I've talked about this a little bit in things, and I've talked about it a little in doing live theater shows. Mm. And I love that because it's like when I go on stage or whatever, on a podcast, whatever.
Right.
It's like whenever we're doing that, it's like a cartoon character version of ourselves at some level.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
And that's okay. Some people are like, no, be yourself. Well, no, but you're not going to be yourself when you go to work.
Right.
You're going to be the work version of yourself.
Absolutely.
And when you go to the movies with your friends,
yeah,
you're not going to be yourself that you are at home. You're going to be the friend with your at the movies.
Right.
Self.
Absolutely.
So it's not bad to like be, to play that role of what in the situation that you are. And I talked about it with like behind the curtain when I'm about to go on stage doing my juggling show.
Yeah.
I like hate it. I'm like, I hate every bit about doing this.
So you
and
hate
I did
like
it for
the,
like 10 years.
The moments leading up, you're just like, I hate this.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't, I don't want to do it. Maybe the fire alarm will go off and I won't have to go out there. It's like literally like if something can happen, so I don't need to do this.
What?
It never went away after 10 years of doing shows.
But then
every
once you...
single show, I was like, man, I just like maybe something will happen where I won't have to do this. One time it did.
The smoke alarm
went off and I was like, it happened. Yes, it finally happened. And then it was like they had to evacuate the thing. And then they brought everybody back in. And I was like, no, this is even worse. Now I have to go through this twice.
Oh, no.
And then they ended up being
no.
like, they had to cancel the show.
They're
and
like,
then they
yeah.
like left. But there was that thing and behind that curtain, it was the same thing, kind of like pull the Band-Aid off. It was like I knew the result of when I walked out. It went away instantly. Like just like
yeah.
once you start filming, you're like, okay, this is fine.
Yeah.
And once I would step foot on the stage, I'd be like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
But I knew that was coming. Every time backstage, I was like, I know in 8 seconds this is going to be fine, but I still want
right,
it to.
No,
I still
want
to not do it.
Oh.
So like I know that's why I kind of wanted to dig into that. It's like a little bit of a different spin on it.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of people who turn on the camera to make their podcast, turn on their camera to make a YouTube video,
right?
Maybe even go through all of it and then they trash it because they're like, oh, I looked weird, my lighting's not good enough, or whatever,
right?
And then they're like, well, people are gonna judge me, or I did this before and got 3 views, so it's not worth doing it again.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really powerful thing of just that. Knowing that no matter what level people are at,
yeah.
they're probably terrified to do the thing that you think that they're awesome at doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just like whenever you get into that mindset, it's up to you to retrain your brain into thinking, okay, I can do this. And
yeah.
I know the result's going to be fantastic. So
I don't know who this was. I'm stealing this from somebody and I don't know who to credit, but there's this like real psychology of doing the countdown.
Yes.
So it's like no matter what, like as crazy or as simple of a task as it is, if you do a countdown like 5, 4, 3, 2, like say what you're going to do at the end.
Yeah.
And like lift off.
Yes.
It's like if you're like laying in bed, you're like, I know I should get out of bed.
Right.
But like, I'm probably going to look at my phone for the next 20 minutes.
Yes.
If you just say, I should probably get out of my bed, and then that you just do your countdown, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then lift off. Like, it's like you actually have to fight to stay in.
Oh, okay. So it's like a surgence of like just
yeah, because like our whole life, we've been trained that like at the bottom of a countdown, something like lift off.
Yeah,
like
you're right.
We go like that. Whenever there's a countdown, like things happen at the end of it. So like we're just like been conditioned our whole life. At the end of a countdown, you go do something.
Okay, I can see that, because like if I've always envisioned myself, if I was on Fear Factor and I had to eat one of those creepy crawly things, I'd be like, 3, 2, 1, go.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Then and you it's just like, do it. Then you're not thinking, because you're also like thinking about the countdown and you're thinking about action.
Right.
Not like, oh, all these bad things that might happen if I do this thing.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that too, like when you're laying in bed and you just need to go, I have a question. Do you take cold showers?
No, I like tried for a little bit in LA. Yeah. It's like, it was easier in LA because it was like warmer out.
Right.
And then like I did it for a little while, but then I was like, well, I just hate this.
Yeah.
And now I've been just like kind of being a bum lately.
I am the epitome of that meme that's like, girls just love really, really hot showers. You might as well just shower in like fire. Yeah, that's me.
Can you do cold ones?
Oh, no.
So apparently the trick is, if you can't do it, is to just like take a warm shower, but then at the last like three, just make it cold, and then you can just jump out.
Yeah, like condition yourself.
But then you'll like be like, okay, well, it wasn't that bad, but it's kind of always that bad.
Yeah, it's so terrible. I don't know. I don't understand how people do it. But I mean, bless whoever does, because they make this world go round. People take cold showers.
So you've made the decision to take action and do those things,
right,
which is something that I've dedicated like all of my content to, like encouraging people to start.
To just go.
To live between dreams.
I love that.
It comes, I'm sometimes mindful and cautious in that of coming from a place of like, I don't have like these huge struggles.
Yeah.
Of like I'm not homeless.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have like some crazy problems in, like, everyone has problems,
right,
at some level.
Yeah.
Privilege, like I'm coming from a place of a bit of privilege of like, yeah, I like kind of worked my ass off to have this stuff, like,
sure,
and worked to get there. But there's a lot of people who maybe come from some level of like a crappy past or present.
Mm-hmm.
And you've kind of decided to like craft the positivity out of things.
Absolutely.
In the content that you're doing and just in life.
Yeah.
And like, so you're doing content that's sometimes like goofy and silly.
Yeah.
But then it also has like, there's this underlying tone of that positivity. And it's not like, right, my stuff's like more on the nose.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And you're just like kind of crafting that, and probably like having, it's especially powerful to have particularly like young girls,
mm-hmm,
have somebody to look up to that is giving that positivity and that like empowering them to go do things.
Absolutely.
When a lot of the rest of the world is encourage people, like everyone, to not do things.
Yes. Yes.
So where does that come from of like crafting? So you can decide that your life sucks and you can't do things because you don't have a TV studio and you don't have a thing, or you can decide, well, I'm gonna like make people on this airplane smile, maybe piss some people off.
Yeah, get yelled
at. I'm gonna make people smile. I'm gonna make me smile. I'm gonna film it, and then I'm gonna like, that's gonna be a cool story for forever.
Yes, absolutely. Making memories is number one. But so as far as like what kind of where it stems from to make positive content is the reminder that the youth is our future. So for me, it's very important to educate them in a way that's, you know, relatable. You know, for instance, one of my videos is the underlying tone is, don't send nudes. It's not smart, you know? So, but it says it in a way that's like, you know, more positive for and easily digestible, and for parents to watch and be like, oh, she did it in a way that I couldn't. Mm. So I think that's very important. And my demographic, especially on TikTok, is very young. So I'm very conscious of that. I think there's enough content in the world that's, you know, out there that's negative. So, and it's easier to jump to that, to be quite honest. But positivity for me is important. I mean, why not, you know? I just want to make people smile and, again, entertain them, whether it's like 60 seconds, 30 seconds, just take them out of their day for them to watch me and be like, she's so dumb, you know? Like, that's it, you know? So yeah. What about you? Like, what really makes you want to create something and put it out there in the world regardless of the views? And what really is your inner drive to do that? I mean, because not many people would do, you know? And, like, for you to actually sit down and, like, create something, like, your brain is just, like, so beautiful. So for you to actually put it into something, what drives you to get to that point?
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Your brain is beautiful, too.
Thank you.
And I guess I didn't do a very good – in my makeshift introduction, it was you know, there's been – especially since now I came to Atlanta half a year ago, there hasn't been, like, a lot – one of my big frustrations has been, like, not meeting a lot of people who are, like, out there, like, wanting to make things happen. And that was, like – that once I met you and started, like, kind of, like, creating things with you, it's been, like, one of the best people in Atlanta.
Thank you.
You've been one of the best people in Atlanta. So
– likewise.
That should be at the beginning.
Yeah.
I don't know. I get messages, not tons. I don't have, like, a huge audience, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, you have quality over quantity, to be honest.
Yeah, and there's, like, people I'll get between, like, my book and these podcast episodes. There's, like, almost everything that I release, like, it's one person that I, like, know personally, or I'll see them at an event. Like, hey, I used that. That sparked this idea.
Yeah.
Or, like, shout out to Megan Pagoda, who I just had a conversation with today, an hour-long FaceTime. We were, like, chatting ideas, and, like, we wanted to, like, be on the same page. Like, oh, let's help each other, like, stay motivated.
Yes.
She said, like, this podcast popped up, and she re-listened to her episode when she was on this show. And she said it, like, was so cool to hear that. It was like a year ago or something, and it, like, kind of re-sparked the ideas that she was pumped about then.
Yeah.
Helped her like get back. I wanted to do that. I gotta get it, kind of kick that in. So it's like really cool things that, like, I'll talk to people that I haven't talked to in a year. They're like, oh, I listened to that, or that I don't know,
right?
And then, like, I'm sure you get that every day. I get it less, but there'll be people that say, like, oh, I submitted to this performing theater or something because I saw, like, your book. That was just go.
Yeah.
You just got to do it. Just, like, you're not ready, but you do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when I get those messages, not that it's, like, for the praise of those messages, but it was from those messages that, like, oh, I did something that made someone take action.
Right.
And if it's, like, one person per thing that I make, that's worth it. And yeah, oftentimes that person is, like, me.
Yeah.
That I need to just be. Mm. Spinning the wheels. And then, so on the other side of that is, the final part of that is, like, I do all of my work with this, like, secondary benefit in that, like, I don't need to have this whole setup here. I could do an audio podcast, but I'm always, like, building my portfolio for the next thing, which is why I got a job in Atlanta, because they're like, oh, your podcast looks awesome. The content that you make looks awesome.
Right.
So I got a job, like, without a resume.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, so that's something, like, to help people that maybe aren't getting views. Yeah, but you're building this resume that then you could, like, maybe go make videos for a company or or whatever. Maybe you will never get an audience.
Yeah.
But you could be a photographer who helps other people, who gets paid to do other things. So that's always, so two sides is, like, it's worth it even if one person listens, and even if that person is myself.
Yeah.
And then the other benefit is, I feel like if you don't have a huge audience right now, like, you can be building your portfolio to be super awesome.
Yeah, experiment and see what sticks, or, like, what makes you happy to put out there. Absolutely. Yeah. I think I don't want to butcher this legend's, like, quote, but Tupac said, if I don't change the world, I will spark the mind that does. And I think that's incredible, because that's what kept him going, you know?
Yeah. And, yeah, that was great. And Isaac, in the previous episode a few times ago, he, like, kind of used that, and in his own way too. Yeah. He kind of, like, merged two thoughts of that same principle together, and he was talking about, like, not getting credit for things.
Right.
But you still do them because it's worth it. Instead of hoarding ideas.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think sharing is caring. But no, it is. And I think helping each other. That's what we're here on this earth to do. For me, especially, that is my purpose, is to help others. So it's any advice I can give or anything, I'm always there to happy to help, you know. Also, to kind of piggyback on what you said earlier about what stems, like the positivity, like what, how do you put that into your content and why do you do it? I think one of the things too is, like, every comedian, I'm sure, can attest to this, is that, like, it comes from a dark place. Mm-hmm. So you can't have comedy without tragedy. And I think that a lot of it has come from, so, like, those dark parts in my life, I've been able to kind of turn around and look at as a positive thing, because I don't live with regrets, no matter what. Sure, mistakes learned, but no regrets, because everything that's happened to me or that I've done up until this point has made me the person I am today, and that's important to me because I love me. I didn't always love me, but I love me. I love me so much. I think I love myself more than Kanye loves Kanye, and that's a lot. So, yeah, so I think that's very important, and that can go across any job or anybody who's feeling that way. If you're going through a rough time right now, it seems hard to look on the bright side, but there is always a bright side. There's always that light at the end of the tunnel. You will get through it, I promise you, you know? And so I think that's what also why I kept creating, because it gave me an outlet to go through the situations in my life and create this scenario and put it out there and be like, I'm kind of telling you what's going on in my life, but I'm doing it in a way, my way, you know? So that's, I don't know, I think that's kind of cool. And I think creators can take away a lot from that, you know?
Yeah. So you released a YouTube video recently that kind of talked about some of those dark times, right, and some of the challenges that you went through, and it wasn't in a way of like, oh, I'm complaining. It was a way of, oh, this kind of is unfortunate thing that I'm going through and went through and am getting through,
right,
but I'm going to use that to build things up rather than like tear myself down and the people around me and become, absolutely, this like light of to radiate to yourself and to the people around you.
Yes.
So for people who haven't seen that, why don't you give a little bit of thought about what that was about?
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple years ago, I decided that I was going to make this video about this certain situation in my life. So I'll start from the beginning. What happened was I was scrolling through Facebook, and as one should not do, compare yourself to others, because comparison is the thief of joy. And so I was scrolling through Facebook, and I saw a girl from high school who was at a competition in bodybuilding. And I was like, wow, she looks fantastic. What? And I showed my significant other. I was like, hi, so what do you think of this? And he was like, yeah, that's so cool. You could never do that. Sure. And automatically I was like, yes, I can. And so yeah, I felt like it was God's way of just, you know, one day I was driving down the highway and I saw this sign that said competition prep coach. And I was like, yes, I knew that was it, because it was a literal sign. I was like, all right, so
sometimes right on it's in. That easy.
Yeah.
And we're like, right, it's just there.
It's there.
Look for it.
So hightailed right on in, and I met my coach, and from there he gave me a plan and everything, and throughout, let's see, I think it took about 12 weeks, I dropped 20 pounds and was ready to go on stage for Muscle City, and it was in Nashville, I think, and I stepped on stage, and my body was the best it had ever looked. I'm telling you, I was like, snatch. I was like, look at those abs. All that is great. It was fantastic. Like that was the pinnacle for sure. And then once that stopped, I actually didn't place. I placed second, and I didn't win because the girl that won had breast implants. So automatically that's a hit to my ego for sure. And so I was like, oh, okay. And I talked to the judge afterwards, and he was like, yeah, I mean, if you want to continue, you should definitely consider breast implants. And I was like, no. So then I kept going. I still competed. I think I maybe did two more competitions. And along that journey, my brain was trained a certain way to look at foods a certain way. So I pretty much trained myself to only eat certain things, and I started an unhealthy relationship with food, so I wouldn't touch certain things because I thought they were bad foods, and so I kept dropping weight. I never actually did a reverse diet to get back to a healthy mindset and actually eat regular foods, and so I kept dropping weight, and I, mind you, I'm 5'9", and I dropped down to 94 pounds, and I saw myself in the mirror, and I was like, oh, who are you? And I remember, like, my hair was falling out. I was, like, malnourished. Like, there was – it was bad. So I was like, okay, this something's got to give. So I went to go see a nutritionist, and mind you, they treated me like a number, and I didn't feel comfortable with them at all. And so I kind of had to do a self-rehabilitation thing, if you will, and self-diagnosed. I was orthorexic because I was very – very hyper focused on just eating healthy, that it basically, that was my self diagnosis pretty much. So I was like, okay, this has got to change. This isn't me. So I researched, did a reverse diet, and I'm back to the healthy person I am today. And it's not so much about when I work out, it's not about aesthetics anymore. It's just about being healthy. I think that's really important, because I think a lot of women, especially my age, are so focused on looking a certain way, and to me, like, now in hindsight, I'm just like, why? You know what I mean? Why subject yourself to that? You don't have to. So that's why I no longer compete, and that is why I cut off all my hair. So I I know, it's crazy. This
what's all that
amazing? For those that are just listening, I'm wearing this really beautiful wig today. It is brought to you by the Virgin Hair Fantasy, and it's part blonde and purple. But yeah, so I wear wigs too because I love to have fun.
Yeah,
I know what you're gonna say. I know. So Chris has seen me with my short hair, and he loves it. And I mean, I can't blame him.
Well, it's great. I love you with both short hair and long hair.
Thank you very much. So yeah, so that's, thank you for coming to TED Talk.
Yeah, and I watched it recently, that video. Mm-hmm. And I just loved how, I mean, it was like super sad for me to watch.
Yeah.
Because I like know you.
Yes.
In real life.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't realize like some of those things even happened.
Yeah.
And then it was like, I was like, ugh, I don't want to say I didn't like watching it, but it was like kind of, some parts of it were like actually kind of hard to watch.
Right.
But then it was like a really nice thing of that. Again, it goes back to that decision that you made and continue to make every day of, I can decide that things are crappy. And I have all of us have as many excuses as we want to find.
Yes.
To say that we can't do it or that we don't have the right background or whatever, or we have family right. excuses to make about whatever, that we can't do it.
I mean, doesn't that frustrate you when like you actually hear somebody telling themselves a story that is not true, and you're just kind of like, you want to just like grab them and shake them and be like, that's not true. It's like, yeah. It happens all the time to me. And people, like, for instance, I'm also a Pure Barre instructor, so I teach fitness. So I mean, I'll get women that come up to me and be like, I just want to lose 5 pounds, and I'm like, why do you want to lose 5 pounds, Susan? Well, because I just want to fit into my jeans. What jeans? High school jeans. Why? I just feel like it'll make me happier. It won't. And yeah. I promise you, because it's not so much about your weight as it is about what's inside and why don't you love that part of you. You have to love yourself, you know? So I think that's super important. Have you ever gone through anything? Like, as far as, like, image-wise? Like, is that something that you've gone through yourself?
I think when I was really little, so like I've always been like just naturally super skinny.
Yeah.
Not like really in my adult world.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of, yeah, because like some people will be like, go eat something.
Right.
And it's kind of like, it's kind of like the opposite, where like, without generalizing too much, but like females tend to favor like being skinnier, but then guys tend to favor bulking up or whatever, like
right.
because of whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, I feel like I've had some people, like probably as I get older, less, where like, but like when you're like a teenager or something,
yeah.
and people are like, go eat a sandwich or something. Jeez, what's wrong with you? And then that was like they're just like not really being serious, but like that sometimes did. When I was when I was super younger, especially, I would be like almost maybe like embarrassed because I was like so skinny.
Mm.
mm-hmm. then people would be like, or now, I guess even now, where I'll say like something like, if I want to like exercise or go for a jog or something, I don't do like excessive working out,
right.
but like going to the gym and doing stuff. But I like to be physically active, like yeah. riding bikes and exercising and all that. And I'll still get people being like, well, no, you don't need to exercise. And I'm like, well, no, it's again, it's like not for me to be skinnier.
Right.
It's because I want to like be able to not be out of breath when I
want to be healthy.
Ride my bike.
That's key, is just being healthy. And I think that too is like, honestly, in that moment, you have to decide because you got to know your audience. But like, education is key no matter what. Like, educate. So if like I can educate somebody on like whatever it may be, if they say something what I seem as disrespectful, but they have good intentions, then, you know, it's a time for me to say, hi, you know, like this, let me tell you how I feel about what you just said. You know what I mean? So I think that's key too. It's just crazy to think that people a lot of times don't have filters, you know? Mm. Yeah. I experience that a lot. So I just kind of, you know, make it known. And before I was very passive and I'd just be like, oh, okay. But now I'm more of like, I know me and I love me. So I'm going to stand up for me. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Let's dig back into making content stuff.
Okay.
To kind of tie this all up. So you have this dream and idea and goal that you want to be an actor.
Yeah.
And that means for most people that you are going to go to auditions and wait for things to happen.
Mm.
And one thing that I feel like I keep, not that you need me to, but I keep even like digging into you with is like, keep making your own stuff. Like, cause that's the world that I created, is like, I don't want to ever really go to an audition to be a TV host
mm-hmm.
when instead I can make my own TV show.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I don't want to ever go put myself into a situation where people are allowed to tell me, no, you can't do that thing that you want to do.
Absolutely.
In, like,
yeah.
The creative world.
Mm-hmm.
I got yelled at one time for saying that. And I was like, you know what I'm saying. I'm not saying go do whatever you want and like take advantage of people and be harmful to people.
Right.
In the creative world and like whatever your projects are doing, I wanted to create a world where no one is allowed. If I have an idea, I can go do it without anyone being able to say no.
Yeah.
That's why we're here.
1,000%.
And I think you're doing a really good job of balancing those two, utilizing what you can just do on your own, and then leveraging that into gathering attention. And it's like somebody might see your thing, just like you do the airplane thing. Somebody sees you, you would fit into this thing.
Mm.
And I think that's really valuable for people, especially young people, to see, like, because they see people that have big followings or getting TV shows or getting whatever, and they're just like, well, I'm going to do that one day, instead of saying I'm going to do that today.
Yeah, absolutely.
So get back into the countdown thing of liftoff.
Just do it. Don't stop. Just do it.
So what other things do you feel like you need to share or get off your chest to talk to these people that are listening about?
Ooh, that's good.
The floor is yours. The table is yours.
It's hard. I don't know. I'm just thankful that they're listening. And I'm thankful for the people before us that have created this avenue for us to walk down, because not many people, you know, beforehand, if you're carrying around a camera or whatever, you know, it's now it's kind of normal. Somewhat.
Yeah.
To see somebody carrying around a camera.
I mean, you still get made fun of, kind of.
Oh, all the time, yeah.
And judged.
Yeah, especially if you're doing TikToks, yeah, for sure. But yeah. So I'm just super thankful for the people before us. Can I ask you that, though? Like, who inspired you? Who really inspired you to start doing a podcast or wanting to be a host or entertain, if you will?
This is going to sound insane, but, like, I don't know if I've ever really answered that, which seems crazy.
Right.
Because I do all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And no one, I don't think, ever was like, why?
Yeah. I want to know.
Why would you do this? After I just said how I'm going to talk less on these podcasts that have guests.
I know.
Because it's,
sorry, it's me,
more valuable for it to hear about you. So Craig Ferguson, in a weird way, was like a huge, huge, huge inspiration when I was younger.
Wow, that's awesome.
Because he, and now it's funny because like now I've, I don't know him personally, but I've like seen a lot of his work, and now where he's just gotten to the point where he's like, screw Hollywood.
Yeah.
And he like still participates kind of.
Yeah.
But he's also just like, I'm never going to do this thing that people want me to do.
Right.
And he was, when he had the Late Late Show, it was like such a bonkers show.
Yeah.
Because it was on at 1 o'clock, whatever time it was on, right. 1 o'clock in the morning. No one cared. And he was able to really, he was just like, everything was kind of like a big F you to Hollywood.
Mm.
He's like, I'm going to have a horse run around. And yeah. I don't have a co-host, so I'm going to make a robot skeleton puppet host that's going to be ridiculous.
I love that.
And like everything he did was just so absurd. And it was all like intentionally, because he was like, I don't care about right. this. Like, you guys are silly. Like, this whole thing is silly.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a silly show that doesn't make any sense.
I love it.
And it's like Pee-wee's Playhouse even was like a thing where he was just like, I'm going to just do this great insanity.
Yeah.
I wasn't like super Pee-wee Herman fan when I was younger. But I think now I'm like, oh, he was crazy.
Yeah.
Because he was just nuts and yeah. like doing these like crazy things. So yeah, people like that kind of, I think the like the punk rock eighth grader in me will like always be there, like screw them.
Yes.
I'm doing it myself because yeah. like I came up through doing shows. I was playing drums since I was 14 in bands, in like basement shows.
Love that.
And fire hall shows, which
yeah.
The kids don't know what that is anymore, but we would go rent a fire hall or find a friend's basement that like had parents that for some reason let us do that.
Yes.
And we would have like 100 people come and we would play, like put on our own show.
Yes.
And it's like kind of the foundations of all the things that I'm doing. It was like, yeah, we had a fire hall basement and we put on a show and 100 people came.
It's amazing.
And it was like we were doing that every weekend for like middle school, high school.
I love that.
And so I give a lot of credit to like my friends that did that in Pennsylvania, where we came up through like doing the DIY like music scene. And that's still like the people that are watching on this, it looks awesome there. But it's like on the other side of that, there's like sketchy things holding up the curtains and there's like crap everywhere.
It's real sketchy.
And it's like super awesome. But it's also like, I think I'll always have that thing of like, yeah, it's going to be a little scrappy.
Yeah.
Like we're going to do it however we want.
That's your favorite word. Scrappy.
Yeah.
I like it. You know, Scooby-Doo's brother, Scrappy.
Scrappy-Doo?
Yes. But no, yes. That's amazing.
And you're the same way, I think, in that you very well could say I don't have, your phone is broken.
Oh yeah, I can't have anything nice.
You're like the, if there's one person that I know that should have a phone that's not broken, it's the person that has 2 million followers on TikTok.
Yeah, agreed. It's worse. Like the
her phone is broken. She has,
it pretty much cuts me like every day too, because like by now it's made of glass, so like, I mean, fiberglass, right? I don't know what it is, whatever, it just cuts me. And like the glass is out on the both cameras, the front facing and the rear. So I just can't create on my phone. I know I need a new phone so bad.
So there's people who would be like, well, I'll start TikTok when my phone is fixed, right, so that I can film on my phone.
No, just whatever you have, do it. So even your friend's phone or your mom's phone, like you. Yeah.
Or call Chris. He'll always help you all yeah. the time.
Yes. Get you a Chris.
Hey, something needs to be posted tonight. Are you free?
Yes.
Sure.
I do that to him all the time. It's my favorite. I told you I love making people uncomfortable, and Chris is number one. No, I agree. Absolutely. And the whole music scene and stuff like that, let me tell you something really quick while it's on my mind, because my ADHD is nuts. But I legitimately, one of my favorite things and pastimes is to go to local shows, because I have never been able to play an instrument. Mm-hmm. I've tried. I mean, I'm pretty good at the recorder. I don't know if y'all know what that is, you kids nowadays, but it's like a little wind instrument.
Can you be good at it though?
I mean, hot cross buns was my jam. So yeah, I was never really good at it. So if I go to movies or I watch TV or whatever, I can't escape, because that's work to me. So I'll literally sit back and watch, oh, how do they do the lighting? Or, oh, how does she get into character? Or whatever it may be. Like, that's how my brain works. But if I go to a show, I escape. There it is. As soon as, like, especially when I hear drums, like, I don't know what it is about drums. So when you mentioned that, I was like, bingo. I think that's why we're besties. But, like, it's just something about that, like, I love it and I fall in love. Is there an escape for you as far as, like, do you watch TV and escape? Like, what is your, what's your guilty pleasure?
That's an interesting thought as well, of like the things feeling like work.
Mm.
It's like, I can't watch a TV show without thinking, well, how'd they light that?
Yeah.
To the point where it's like, kind of, it's like I can't go to a magic show because it's like I know half the things.
Yes.
Or if I don't, I'm like, okay, well, I need it. Well, how did that? So I don't watch TV shows, and I go to about 2 to 3 movies per year between going to a theater and even watching them at home.
Yeah.
Because I think it's the same. Is there an escape? So I love music. Obviously, we're doing the Between Dreams sessions. It's like,
yes,
live music events and event videos here.
And every time I come over, you have music on. Music's your thing for sure.
Yeah, so music, but also, yeah, so music is a big part of all the things that I do, I think. Even my juggling show was very heavily about music. Like, I wasn't playing music, but it was like, boom, it was like loud music was playing, I'm juggling.
Absolutely.
It was never like background music.
Right.
Like a lot of shows, there's like backing music.
Yes.
That was equal to me doing anything.
Absolutely.
It was the music,
yeah,
that was playing. So in a way that's certainly a thing. But then actively, as my brain always goes, favors,
I can relate,
fortunately or unfortunately, is like, I think there's a thing of like, what, so people might say like, how, like what I said to you earlier is like, how do you keep making stuff? What inspires you to make stuff when you might not want to?
Right.
And I have like this weird obsession of like thinking, probably to a fault, that like when I go to Trader Joe's, I like want somebody to know who I am.
Yeah.
And that's probably bad that I'm driving towards that, but it's also like really good because I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. Like, I'm not like obsessing over it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also like, those people, and it's like, this will sound way less worse than it just did, of like the motivation behind it. I find that like I see people as like people watch a movie every day.
Right.
Okay, so you have time to watch a movie every day. So like I could create something that maybe they watched and they're just like, because they're bored and just turn on Netflix.
Yes.
But what if they turn on something that I created? Like direct, like not maybe this podcast or maybe something else. That's why I help so many people too.
Yeah.
Again, not to sound like a jerk off, but like, especially in LA.
Yeah.
Like I was helping people make content that I like for the most part didn't get credit for, equal as much as I was making my own content.
Mm.
And because it felt like, so that's the escape of like, is just like making stuff, because like sometimes not so much that I get a reward from making it,
right,
but more like the turmoil of my day,
yeah,
from not making it. So I'm like the opposite of like, I don't get as much reward from making stuff as I do turmoil from not making something that day, because then I go to Trader Joe's or whatever, or you go outside or go to a show or something,
right,
and I'm like, if I made something today that these people saw, then like I could, that might spark, not again, not so that I'm famous,
right,
but so I created something that they were super pumped about, or like I gave like a tip or advice or something that they're like, hey, I did the thing.
Yeah.
What drives me to create stuff is like, I want people to know who I am, not to be famous when I like walk around and get to be famous.
Yeah.
But I get to be famous because they're like, yo, he just told me a thing that tripled my income.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's amazing. Yeah. That's what we're here to circle back. Like, that's what we're here on this earth to do, is help each other. And I think that's super important, especially with what we're doing in our content or creation or whatever it may be, whatever our medium is just to help each other, which is perfect. Yeah.
That's our podcast.
Yeah.
And to double down on that is like, I kind of danced around it earlier, of like meeting you and being like inspired by you going out and making stuff happen. And it's like truly like one of the best people that I've met. Top 10, I'd say.
Top 2.
And it's really great to, and I think just like being that, like, think of a human as like, it's like super, it's going to sound cheesy. But like a human like really does have that power to like radiate.
Mm.
And again, this will get, it's, it'll get more and more cheesy, but like the thing with like a candle, like a room can be very dark. But that candle doesn't care.
No.
Or know the difference. Like the candle could be outside in the sun. Sweet. Cool. It's not going to be worried about it. And it could be full on darkness. The candle's like, I'm going to do the exact same thing. I'm going to show up.
That's right.
I'm going to wake up and keep doing what I do. Like no matter what's happening around me, yes. Radiate light. If people need it, cool. If they're not there and the sun's out, cool. I'm going to keep doing it.
Yes.
And that's what I see you doing. Keep showing up every day, making stuff. Thanks for shining bright.
Yeah, like a candle. I love it. Thank
you.
All
right. That's our podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening and watching. If you are just listening on Spotify, podcast platforms, wherever, leave a rating if that's allowed in whatever the thing you are in. Or like Spotify, follow is a good button to push right now.
Mm-hmm.
Apple, iTunes Music, like ratings, reviews, subscribe. And if you are only listening to us, you can also watch us on my YouTube channel. We have cameras here so you can see you know, how pretty I look with my wig on right now.
So you can see this beautiful candle shining bright.
Okay, that's it for now. Thank you and goodbye.